amazingly, nobody is talking about this. Nobody is giving details about this in Detroit. The only people who are not witnessing the events and watching it as it unfolds, brother, are the people right there in Detroit. They're the only ones who are not hearing anything about this. They're just feeling the crush of it. But there is no information going to the front lines to let them know. But then again, I guess that's a problem. You see, they should have been building a front line when Kwame Kilpatrick was doing the bidding of his masters against Dr. Claude Anderson. Because they were talking about the story, there's a group called the Detroit Water Brigade. No, I'm not joking. If you go to their Facebook page, it takes you to Amazon where you can donate money to buy water supplies, water containers, water purifiers. That's right. Water purifiers. And their poster child, pounds, black female, gold weave, tattoos on her breasts and her arms, body like a pack of donuts. And that is their mascot. Now, whether she bought the house or not, it doesn't matter. She's on the hook for the water bill. I'm strong and independent with my three bastard babies. I bought a house. You just never bothered to find out if you needed to buy that house. She's telling herself, I did everything right. No, you did everything wrong. You can never rise higher than your people. And this idea that you can do every, you spend all your money on the house, you don't have a dime for your water. And she's on disability. And she's on disability. The reality is you could not, as Simone said last week, you could not actually afford that house, but you tried to buy it anyway. A lot of black folk ending up in a lot of traps and a lot of trick bags right now. We're going to get to her story shortly. Right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the telephone lines. The number is 646-787-1933. That's 646-787-1933. Your personal access code to the blackest radio program on the planet. The only one that is speaking truth about what's happening to us. I want to know when the drought is going to end. When the drought of stupidity, bastard baby makers, homo thugs, idiots, the lazy, the unambitious, the excuse makers, the enablers. When will the drought end? And I am becoming hopeful that it ends about now. I'm becoming hopeful that it ends right about now. Maybe you just have to starve them out. Caller from 901, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, what's going on, TJ?
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is MJ. I'm calling from Tennessee.
And what's on your mind?
I know that, I mean, it's terrible what's going on in Detroit. You know, I want to say that.
Why is it terrible? Why is it terrible?
I mean, it's just like, I guess, you know, when you just have the power and wealth and control, I mean, you can, I mean, basically, whoever has the wealth and the power is going to be okay, and those who don't are going to be in trouble.
Okay, explain to me, though, how that's terrible.
Well, this is, you know, I guess a lot of people that's going through it now as far as the water supply and everything like that, that's basically the people that don't have the wealth and power and didn't know how to get it. So
didn't know how to get it, didn't care to get it. When you got three bastard babies and you're 300-plus pounds covered in tattoos, you got money for tattoos, she had money for gold weave, she doesn't have money to pay her water bill, how much does she spend on her hair? How much does she keep spending on it? How much did she spend to get those tattoos? You don't have money for the water? Are you sure it's because they, quote, don't know? Are you sure?
Yeah, I see your point.
See, as black people, we have a tendency of making excuses for other black folk. Yes, it's true we live in a white supremacist system, but there is no excuse for everybody who's not doing everything they can to overthrow that system. And to get my support, you have to show me where you were starting to overthrow that system. I will excuse someone who was fighting the system and got derailed. I will not excuse someone who was living the thought life and playing the game. And when you're getting gold hair while you're children, you have no water to give the children, but you're playing the game with your gold weave. I don't have any mercy for you.
Yeah. You know? I mean, yeah, I see where you're coming from.
And Memphis is not far behind it. Memphis is the bastard baby capital of America.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bankruptcy capital, too.
And most of those are who?
Most of them are going to be black people. It's right now they're talking about the pension now as far as the city of Memphis. And they're going through there about the city council. They were talking about that they mismanaged funds and things of that nature. So now they're trying to see what they're going to do. I think they're trying to change it to a defined contribution plan for people with 10 years or less now. Yeah.
Now, how many members of the Memphis City Council are black?
I believe.
You might want to find that out.
Yeah, I need to find that out because majority of them are black.
If you have a majority black city council, then the question becomes, what the hell have y'all been doing on this city council? What in the hell has been going on? They were supposed to be congregating to build power, wealth, and influence. What the hell have they been doing?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have been greedy and not putting in what the actuary tells them to put in.
Well, but here's the problem. The problem is, the citizens voted for these people over and over and over. The city council didn't make y'all number one in bastard babies. Your city council is a reflection of the people. There's an old saying that people get the government they deserve. In a democracy, you get the government you deserve. And what I'm telling you is that city council is negligent, irresponsible, incompetent, malfeasant, and that is actually microcosmic of this people of Memphis when you think about it. They are a reflection of the constituency. That's what I'm telling you. They are a reflection of their constituencies. Could an intelligent black man who is serious about business get elected in Memphis? Could an intelligent black man who is serious about business, could he get elected in Detroit? If he's not dancing a jig like Kwame Kilpatrick, would the electorate of Detroit actually vote for him? If he's black. Now, if he's white, he could walk right in and be intelligent. But if he's black, would the electorate of Detroit actually vote for him? Memphis, Nashville, Cincinnati, Cleveland. We can go down the list.
Yeah. I had a question, too. Because I know that I listen to the broadcast, and I know that you are big on computer programming. And actually, I started going to the Coding Academy online. And I started taking some of the free classes. And actually, I heard about the homeless man that learned coding. The guy taught him coding, and now he started developing apps And, you know, I never really know that much about the computer programming, but then, you know, I'm like 35, so I started looking into a lot of the computer programming and started reading up like Mark Zuckerberg and all the different kind of people. And I said once before, it was back in the day, I was like, it seemed like everybody that actually gets a lot of wealth is something dealing with computers. So I applied, I guess, let me tell you, like, I'm 35 years old, and I've been working for this company in Memphis that, hey, I called them before, they have a defined benefit plan. And I would have to stay there another 12 years in order to get the full benefit of the pension. And I actually applied to Georgia Tech because they were having a program, an online computer program, and it was under $7,000. And I, you know, put in the background essay and everything. It was pretty good. I'm waiting to hear back from them. It's a good chance that I might get accepted, but it's an online program. Everything is online, and I don't have an engineering or programming background. But also, it's on the second hand, it's a 2-year computer programming course at a local college down here that is
Let me find out here, brother. Can you just get to the point exactly? What did you want to know?
Well, I was wanting to know, do you think it would be better? Which one, I guess, would be better since I don't have a programming or engineering background?
You don't need one.
I was thinking if I went. Okay.
Well, all you need is a school and a good teacher. That's all. That's what Lee. You're talking about Leo Grand. He was the home man who was taught to program. Are you a member of our group, Intelligent Black Society?
Yes.
Okay, you need to get in touch with Ricardo Alexis. He's a member of the group. He actually spoke to the white man who tutored Leo. So he actually found out the books that he gave Leo and the courses that he told Leo to take and the websites that he gave Leo. That's why they call us the Black Channel. That's why we are Intelligent Black Society, brother. We have our finger on the pulse of everything. So in the Intelligent Black Society group, get a hold of Ricardo Alexis. That's my man from New York. And he already spoke to those people you're talking about. So he spoke to the man himself. So he actually knows the books and the courses. So get in touch with Rick, and he can get you that information. It's still best to have a tutor if you can get one, or a teacher if you can get one. It'll go much faster. But definitely, that's the right direction to go in. Definitely.
Okay.
A member of our group, let me just get and cut to the chase for you. Just contact Rick. He'll get you he'll tell you. You're talking about you don't know what the books are and stuff. Rick can tell you exactly what the books are and the websites. So that'll help.
Okay.
But if you're able to get a hold of a tutor for it or somebody who can personally help you with it, because you'll have questions, it'll go faster as opposed to having to look around and stuff, because Leo's progress happened because he had a tutor.
Okay.
So that definitely helps.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for joining us here, brother, and Black First as always. Professor Truth, she's big as a house. She's tatted up, she's hood ratted up, and now she's drying up. She's got that pig face on her. I mean, she looks like Porky Pig with a dress. In one picture, she's got red weave. In another one, she's got gold. Does that sound like a person who is worried about her children, her home, or her survival?
Not worried about her kids, probably doesn't own her home, and survival is something that only matters if she's not at the club. For the last 50 years, we've been having our disorganized defense getting crushed by an organized offense. This is the end result of the crotch culture that a lot of the females and a lot of the men have been taking part in. If you think that going to the club, throwing your legs open, making excuses for procreating with the lowest common denominator of males, if you think that all that behavior is harmless, ask the people in Detroit. If you think that hookup culture doesn't come with any consequences, then you better think again. You got people there who don't know how to do anything else. Even if they were so industrious as to decide, you know what, you can turn my water off. As soon as that water truck leaves, I'm going to get out with a wrench and turn it right back on again. They can't even do that much. That's what happens when you don't learn anything. That's what happens when you put all your energy into going to the club, getting some tattoos, and trying to figure out how to make excuses for enticing the lowest common denominator of males. Now you're in a life and death situation, and you got nobody who can help you. She doesn't care. She never did. She wants somebody to feel sorry for her because that's the fallback position for all the bastard baby makers. They don't really have the ability to provide for themselves, so they go looking for a sponsor, usually white. And because of the fact that they don't think about the future, they don't think at all, they sit there and, you know, I got my job, a little mid-level something. It's, you know, 2 bits. They feel proud for 5 seconds. Then the white guy decides, whoa, I'm sick and tired of looking at your raggedy behind. Besides, the government already given me all of the affirmative action tax credits I'm going to get, and I can get a lot more with Hispanic women and a lot more work out of them. So what are you still doing here? She holds up a sign saying that she's a student. I would love to know what she's taking. Either it's English studies, nursing, or psychology. Psychology, which is a field that Asian women own. Nursing, the Filipinos got that one. There's another group of Asians. And language studies. I don't know where the hell she would take a degree like that. This is what happens when you don't take your survival seriously, folks. For callers who in the last few weeks wanted to argue the point about whether or not we need to slam the door on certain black folks, we need to do that. The intelligent black society ought to be bursting at the seams with that talented 10th. At the end of the day, there's not more than a few million black people who are going to be salvageable. We need to accept that. And I think that they're going to start coming in this direction. I think we've gotten the attention of a lot of them, though we need to get the attention of a lot more. And as the screws of white supremacy begin to turn and the pain begins to intensify, that's when the drought is going to be enough for some people. That's when it's going to start dawning. When Jason was asking, you know, how much longer this is going to go on, till it hurts enough. When it starts to hurt some people enough, then they're going to look and say, okay, I'm in some real pain now. I really can't find nothing. They've cut social services. They're throwing us out in the streets, and we don't have a plan B. Neighbors are in the same sorry boat. But I got to tell you something. The time to plan for the drought is when it's raining. That's the time. When you got plenty of water, that's the time to plan for the drought. By the time the skies have decided to conspire against you, it's too late. So you store up when the storing is good. This is not a game. It never has been. And it's kind of sad when you got a no cut to it. It is sad to have a bunch of Canadians who did the one thing that the black people should have done, which is get together and say that this is intolerable and you won't be allowed to do this. But then again, I didn't see too many tattoos on those Canadians. They didn't seem to be 500 pounds. And I sincerely doubt if any of them doesn't have a college education. These people are serious about their interests. And I have no doubt that a lot of those Canadians, yeah, they want to, perhaps there is some altruistic bone in their body, perhaps a very small one. But I already have seen this play before myself, and I'll tell you right now, you got a lot of Canadians who cannot wait to get their hands on some real estate in Detroit. This is going to be their entree. I trust as far as I can throw them. They're here to pick the bones clean on a once great city. And the black people up there who are suffering, what can I say? At the end of the day, you made your choice, and your choice was you wanted a clown to lead you. You let the city be a three-ring circus for 40 years because you figured that John Conyers, what was some idiot called in and said John Conyers was the only effective black politician. Yeah, the people in Detroit probably agree with that, don't they? Ask the people of Detroit how effective John Conyers has been for them. Is he going to get the water back on? Is he going to get that emergency?
They claim that he's going to be in Congress, that he's going to be demanding that something be done about this now. I wonder if he's going to do the same wonderful work here that he did to keep him out of bankruptcy in the first place. Wonder if he's going to do the same wonderful job.
doing more demanding. That's right. Great. Because apparently the Detroit Water Brigade, that's not going to be a big enough group of malcontents. You didn't get in this problem because you weren't protesting enough, Detroit. I told you in the video why you got in this problem. Because at the end of the day, there is a fundamental lack of understanding of what it takes to have a forward-moving society. And this starts at the grassroots. It is the grassroots where there has been this failure. That Yorkshire hog holding up the sign, like the freaking burnt-up melon man, she is the exact status quo that you find in Detroit. Utterly uneducated, utterly disinterested, unable to ensure their survival and not particularly concerned. And they're reaping the bitter fruit. They're up there going to starve these people. It is amazing to see. And it better be an object lesson for the rest of you. Those of you who think that you can be part-time intelligent black society, you're going to wind up being full-time victims when white supremacy unleashed comes to your town. And it is coming to your town. They have a point that they want to make. And the point is, it's been 5 centuries since we flexed our muscles. It's been 5 centuries since we've had a go at these guys. See, we have always been the enemy because we represent something that the Asians and the Hispanics could never represent. And that is the fundamental overthrowing of racism, white supremacy. Racism, white supremacy is an idea that the closer to white you are, the better you are. So Asians and Hispanics will accept their place in the hierarchy. But black people cannot. Our success is racism, white supremacy's failure. And the pact that the elite of whites made with their foot soldiers, that is the 99% of whites, was that we'll put a glass floor in place. That glass floor will keep the undesirables, we Negroes, from ever coming up to the level that you're at, but it will also keep you from falling to the level that they are at. That is the social compact that the white elite made with the white rank and file. When you see things like the Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street, you're seeing largely an ethno-economic movement of white people who are angry that the social compact that they thought they had with their elites has been broken. Now, of course, you and I know that there was really never a compact in place. The average white man ain't got what it takes to walk down the street in the Vanderbilt subdivision. Actually, I shouldn't say subdivision. The Vanderbilts live in a freaking small town. It's not even a state. It's the size of a small city. You ain't got what it takes to walk anywhere near the estates of Sam Walton's little bastards. But that's what racism, white supremacy is. It's an idea. And if intelligent black society rises of a necessity, we will shatter that glass floor. And a lot of white people whose guarantee was that they would never fall to the bottom, that guarantee gets taken away. Now, every white person in America, including your good white liberals, are aware of this racial compact. They won't talk about it, but they are aware of it. And at the end of the day, when they see the masses of black people protesting, they don't mind giving a few sympathetic words, but they'll be damned if they sit there and say, you know what? We need to stop doing what we've been doing to confuse black people's internal politics and standing in the way of the progress. They can't do that because they understand that their absolute guarantee of privilege and prosperity was taken from us. If we get our power back, a lot of them, of a necessity, must lose theirs. Not all of them. There's always going to be a few white people who actually do have their act together and would be successful under any circumstances. But I can tell you right now, at least 50% of white people ought to be living in a shack, eating mayonnaise sandwiches full time, and watching reruns of Jerry Springer. And they know this too. And that's the reason why your good liberal white buddies ain't speaking up on your behalf. Because they are not about to sit there and say, yeah, shatter that glass floor so some of us can fall to the bottom. Because the white people, truth be told, they don't know which one of them it is that would fall through. They've never actually had to work their way up the ranks. Very, very few of them have. So you shatter that glass floor, and they don't know which one's going to fall through. Is it going to be me? Is it going to be Keith Olbermann? Is it going to be Rachel Maddow? Is it going to be Lawrence O'Donnell? Is it going to be Bill Clinton? Is it going to be whomever? Nah, your good white liberal buddies, they ain't signing on for that one. They'll cluck their teeth, shake their heads and say, oh, what a shame. Racism is just so terrible. And then they'll move on to the next thing. So you better understand that's the reason why intelligent black society had to have a haven like this. Those of us who come together here may not be the most popular, but this is the group that has chosen to survive. Because this is the group that identifies the dangers, and if you cannot face it down, you get out of the way. But the day is coming when we won't be able to get out of the way. We're going to have to get enough power together where we can fight these bastards, and we can do it. I'm going to start using a new phrase from now on, intelligent black society, winning the war against frauds, fakers, and bastard baby makers, and white supremacists of every stripe, pattern, and spot. At some point, we must fight them. I'm not talking about with words. I'm talking about with our economy. The Japanese say that business is war. And in war, there will be total victory or total defeat. In Detroit, you are seeing total defeat. In Atlanta, you saw, forget about defeat, they surrendered 3 years ago. In Houston, defeat. New Orleans, defeat. Memphis, defeat. Chicago, retreat, heading toward defeat. New York, defeat. Miami, defeat. D.C., they were never in the fight to begin with. Los Angeles, they fell to the enemy on day one. Business is war. And if you survive this fight, you are going to need a war economy. An economy that is better bred for battle than your competitors. And that starts with you. Begin with you deciding that you're going to be a producer. Your people need things, a lot of things. The day and age of coonery and buffoonery is coming to an end. Jason predicted this years ago, as did I. Jason was telling people that when these idiots are no longer able to afford their government-sponsored iPhones or their track phones, when they're no longer able to have electricity on Facebook, when the water gets turned off and the sheriffs are knocking on the door saying, get out, when you ain't got a job and there's no public assistance for you, that's when a lot of black people are going to start getting serious. But by then it will be too damn late. You're going to keep partying and dancing until the powers that be make it where you can't be comfortable anymore. And what are you going to do when that day comes? Because intelligent black society is not going to set up any social programs for you. Intelligent black society already looks at people, oh, you got some tattoos? I ain't gonna kick you out, but I'm sure as hell not putting you at the front of the line. You got to be sitting in the back with the rest of the, you know, suspects. Intelligent black society will not repeat mistakes of having a big tent, because we saw what happens when you have a big tent. It becomes a three-ring circus. That's the only thing a big tent is for.
Go ahead and see if we can check on the phone lines. For caller from 36, you're on live with the Black Panel.
Hey, what's up, Jason? This is me, James Matthew, again. What's up, brother? Hey, Professor Black.
What's on your mind, brother?
I don't know. When is the wake-up call going to happen for our people? Like, what do we have to face, like, for our people just to say enough is enough? Like, this shit, I mean, I'm sorry. Excuse my language.
I think it happens right about now, but go ahead.
But it's just like, even if it doesn't happen, I mean, some people are just still asleep, Jason. You still got white Jesus worshipers, all this type. You still got Negro bedwinch, all this crap, and our people are just still sleeping, still laughing, giggling, thinking everything's going to be all right. These docile still looking for some white person to get them out of this condition. I'm just really tired and frustrated of it. And it's like, I'm a young black man, and I'm trying to look up the older black men, but it's just a lot of them are just bowing down or just keeping along with the system. Every time I ask them, why are things a certain way? They're like, oh, well, that's how the system is. Well, you know, our people, we just shouldn't act this way. Maybe we didn't act this way or look this way. Maybe they wouldn't treat us like this. But I'm like, okay, is that the way we should go? Just go out, just be more cowards and stuff? Like, really?
Well, that's the way it's always been. I mean, you have always had those who fought the system and those who bowed to it. Those who said they were going to overcome it and those who said, I'm going to whore myself to it. And what needs to happen now, brother, is that, do you know what this really tells us? This tells us that in the past, all these people want to focus on history and whatnot. I don't really focus on history like that because I want to know what we're going to do today. And what this really tells us is that whatever we thought we did so great in the past, obviously we didn't do enough. We were not powerful enough. And what this tells us is that we need to gain power, wealth, influence on such a complete autocratic, massive level that we are just unshakable, so that we no longer have this issue, because there has always been a component of black society that has sought to sell us out. Can we just be honest about that? The Europeans, when they first landed on Africa's shores, they could tell that there is a component among these people that is desirous to sell them out. And all they did was just cultivate that component.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that there was a component in us that just is out to sell us out. And you and I have to do the work that is necessary to stop that.
Yeah, but I just wanted to hurry up real quick because it's just taking too long. Hello?
I don't know. Is your phone breaking up on you or something there?
I think so. Hello?
Okay, go ahead and finish your point.
All right. Black first, brother.
Okay, Black first. Thank you very much for joining us here tonight. Let me call from 310. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, how you guys? How you brother doing?
Okay, your phone is coming through real muddled. I need for you to get it out from under your chin, please.
Oh, okay. So how your brother's doing? Go ahead.
Okay, what is your name? Where are you calling?
Excuse me?
What is your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Thomas. They call me TJ. I'm calling from Los Angeles, California.
And what's on your mind?
Normally in Lamar. Excuse me?
What's on your mind?
Oh, I was just calling in. I heard what your brother was talking about, and I thought it was an interesting subject. I hang in Leimert Park. I'm the president over the Leimert Park Vendors, where we sell. We all have businesses in the park, and we sell to the community. It's kind of like an African marketplace, 7 days, on Sundays. And
okay, you've made your plug. Thank you. You've made your plug.
But let me find out how things are going for you.
Excuse me?
Okay, I'm not sure where you got that phone, but you might want to take it back. It doesn't seem that you can hear very well on it.
Yeah, I hear you, brother.
Apparently
what
not.
Was the question?
For the second time now, the question is, how are things going? Actually, third time, how are things going for you out there?
It's going well. You know, we're moving forward. Tomorrow we're having a Creating Wealth for the Youth, meaning bringing the youth out, and we're going to teach them about money. Teach them about business. Life is better than being a basketball player when you own a team, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, that's the kind of thing I want to hear. Now, that's exactly what I want to hear. Why don't you give us an example of what you're going to be telling the children?
Well, I'm going to talk about money. You know, we're going to talk about who, you know, Kobe Bryant is not the richest guy on the planet. You know, Kobe Bryant gets paid from somebody. So who owns that team? We're going to talk about how Warren Buffett got his money. We're going to talk about land and real estate, land development. We're going to talk about manufacturing. You know, none of that application and resume stuff. We're going to talk about building things, creating, how easy
that's
it is to start manufacturing things and apps. Instead of buying video games, create them yourselves.
And that's what they need to hear. That's a very good thing. I'm glad to hear that. I guess my next question is, I don't know what took so long. They didn't wait until the Asians have taken over all the swap meets, and the Hispanics are right there behind them. I don't even know if I can say better late than never, but you said you're in Los Angeles. I just wish it hadn't taken so long for somebody to get up and decide to do something about it.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of people. I've been in, you know, something happened in my life to make me have to go over there. So since I'm there, I realize that maybe it's my destiny to help. You know, I've seen to be one of the only people with a solution. So now I'm doing what I got to do, and it seems like it's really coming together. People have been calling me on the radio shows, TV shows, and, you know, hopefully we have a big turnout tomorrow. Whether it's one kid or 50, we're going to continue to do it, period. So I just hope the parents will bring their children out and listen as well.
Now, that's something that concerns me when you have to say, I hope it will be a big turnout. The situation for black folk in California is wretched. I don't see why it would be something that you would have to hope about. Hell, they ought to be calling you up.
Well, what happened is a lot of people are into this religion, and I'm not. I choose to walk a different path. So they it becomes a gang thing. It's like, oh, is he a Christian? Is he a Muslim? Is he a, you know? So, oh, well, I don't think I can learn from someone that's not a Christian or something like that. So they try to play that game. That's what I say by hope. I see. I have some people try to implement. They try to put some people into my organization that was a pastor of a church, and they thought I was going to step down and let him take over. And I was like, no, he should have started this himself. You know, why all of a sudden when I managed to organize, why would they bring him in all of a sudden to take over? So I was like, I don't think so. So that kind of offended certain people. But I don't care. I'm going to move forward.
Well, some people in the black community, they are still living in a 100-year-old paradigm where the only thing that they can really wrap their brains around is a religious experience. And as far as they're concerned, that, you know, if it's the only leaders or the only people that they can recognize as having any type of knowledge are religious people. Somebody's got to tell them the lightning bolt's going to hit them if you don't listen for them to take it seriously. And that's not the way that power, wealth, and influence work. Furthermore, you can't show us any churches that are cultivating power, wealth, and influence. So you're dealing with a bunch of people who are totally business illiterate, and yet trying to have a conversation with them about business. It's going to be very, very difficult. And the problem is in Asian and Hispanic communities, it's not that hard to get this conversation to start.
Well, I tell people all the time, when I bring up businesses in the community, you get a lot of people who say businesses aren't for everyone. And my response to that is jobs aren't for everyone either. And that's why nobody has them, seems like.
If you say that business is not for everyone, then I would say, you know what, food and heat's not for everyone either, huh?
Exactly. Exactly. I have to kind of take them on the deep end. And I say, you know, a lot of our young black men are in prison for operating illegal businesses, you know, drugs and everything else that they sell that's illegal, stolen car parts. I'm like, that's a business. You know, those are all businesses, buy low, sell high. That's a business mentality. So you can't tell me they don't know any, they're not ready for businesses. That's what they're in jail for selling the wrong products. So they can miss me with all of that. I know a lot of successful businessmen who's transitioned from the negative into the positive. You know, it's just all about their surrounding and who their surroundings and who they affiliate themselves with. People like me say, hey, you know, you can sell car parts. Just like I teach wealth classes, and in my classes I teach people that California or America is the Saudi Arabia of Chevy cars, classic cars. They come up, we have more classic cars, Chevrolets, than anywhere on the planet. And people come here every day buying these cars, shipping them back to Germany, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, but yet we don't have too many Chevy families here, like they have the oil families. We are the Chevy families here. And we see these cars and we say, oh, they're gang-related or those little rapper cars. But in essence, that's a multi-billion-dollar industry that all of the cars pretty much are in Compton, Los Angeles, and Watts. There are more cars in those three cities than there are on the rest of the planet. Teach people to capitalize off of that. That's where my background comes from, and that's why I was able to get the business skills and do all the international shipping and transactions with global people from a global perspective. So it's a lot of things that's upon us that we have no idea because we're taught that it's bad, it's wrong, it's evil, it's negative. You don't want to be a part of that. But that's like if there was oil here under us, they'd tell us the oil was no good. You don't want to be bothered with that oil. You're going to go to jail for it. You know, so just
yeah, what they're really doing is they're expressing fear. Everything about is from them is about how do I get white people to give me my daily bread? I'm not going to challenge white people. I'm not going to challenge them from the top. I want to see how well and how long I can live down here at the bottom. And everything that they do is geared towards how can I keep myself in number two position. At this point, white supremacy doesn't even have to hold them down anymore. They do that themselves. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions here, if I could. How old are you?
I'm 43 years old.
Okay. Don't take this the wrong way, but based on some of the things you said here, because you showed a bit of an in-depth knowledge about that, have you been to prison?
No, I've been to jail before. The most I've done is 9 months.
Okay, that's okay. But what I'm saying is that for your insight into that, because that's usually an insight that I only hear from fellows who've actually done time, so you've done a little bit of a change in the state or whatever. But that's very good that you came out of the scene that way, because most fellows come out looking for more excuses and whatnot. You came out and said, you know, you actually had the courage. Brother, it takes courage to admit that your way ain't working, as Corey Holcomb said. It takes courage to admit that. And a lot of black folk are just not, you know, a lot of black folk are just not able to understand that your way isn't working. It doesn't work. And they're not willing to admit that it doesn't work. And this is to the detriment of themselves, their children, everything else. If people would just admit, and just, you don't have to admit it to the world, you don't have to buy a damn billboard, but let's just be honest, your way ain't working. Let's get on something that's going to work. Instead, they just sit down and say, well, if I can't do it my way, I'm just not going to leave the plantation.
Well, you know, it our way, we only do what we know of. You know, I just happened to be fortunate at a young age that, someone gave me drugs to sell. Then someone also showed me, hey, you know, you can put brakes on this car and make $30. And then I realized, I said, well, dang, everybody has a car. I'd rather do the $30 brake jobs, you know. And maybe I can work on everybody's car I know, and that should be a good living. And that excelled and expanded to the 1,000th power. So people go off of what their experiences are around them. So we need more people like myself that has experience. So that's why I'm trying to teach these classes or trying to put the information out there and let them know where the value is, because we want to change. They got people trying. I'm sitting on these workshops, these different workshops about creating wealth, and I'm like, you see so many African Americans sitting in there trying to learn, pulling out credit cards, saying, here, show me how to do this, and show me how to get into the stock market, show me how to get into real estate. And that's what got me into it, because I realized these people are definitely misleading us, teaching us things about credit and all of these different opportunities that don't even abide by us. We don't need none of these. It's all backwards information, because they see we're trying our hardest to get out of these bad situations, so they deliberately put these people out there to mislead us. You know, I know people who are paying $1,000 to join a pyramid scam so they could sell face cream or Organo Gold coffee and all of this stuff, talking about the wealth you're going to create from selling coffee. I'm like, are you serious? You paid $1,000 to join an organization to let you sell coffee? You know, it's like, are you kidding me? But I go in the room, it's like 40% of the people in there are black. And every one of them has hopes and aspirations of being successful. And they pulled out their last pennies off of their credit cards or didn't pay a mortgage so that they can get in that class. So we want better, but we're just being misled deliberately. That's what happened
okay.
with the housing.
But why is that being allowed to happen, though, is my question.
Because there's not enough people like us. Well, first of all, it's racism. Mm. And it takes a person like me who knows the game to say, hey, no, that's a bad loan. That adjustable rate is a bad business. That's bad business. Don't take that. I don't care if your mortgage payment is $500. It takes people like me to step up and say that. But, of course, I'm not a leader. I'm not the big shot, you know, Reverend Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton, where millions of people are going to listen to my every word. So, you know, I have to start small. So all it takes is for people like me to step up and say, hey, no, this is a bad loan, and, you know, you don't go with this program. You don't go that coffee. You're spending $1,000 for something that's going to give you no return. There's not enough return for that money you're investing in it. So this is a bad investment.
Okay,
this is about
your swap meet situation there, because I've talked to a number of black folk as far as street vendors and whatnot in Los Angeles, and where the hell is Mona Lachey when you really need her around? But the problem that I've had is, like, in California, basically where these structures are concerned, you know, it's one thing to be out there on the street corners and whatnot, but in the buildings, in the brick-and-mortar stores, the Asians and the Hispanics run the yard. And my issue has been that as black people in California, why is that being allowed to continue and what you're going to do about it?
Once I get mine established and people see that we're giving so much value to the community, so they're going to be proud to come spend their money with us, and they're going to slowly but surely start removing their money from the Asians and all the other people. Because we're a savvy people, we're sharp, and I've outthought them in the corporate world many years. So the format that they're using in the swap meet.
What do you say to people who say that that's not going to work because black folk won't spend money with a black vendor or a black store? What do you say to them?
That's a lie. Because 70% of my clients, I owned Express Gold Plating, Molded Suspension, and Compton Wire Wheel. For 19 years, I own those three companies, and those are the majority of the people who spent money with me. So when people say black folks don't spend money with black folks, it's called they're sitting. Why would I spend money with you when your stuff is much higher than everybody else's? When, you know, people go out and buy an incense business. Oh, I'm going to start a business. The first thing they do is I'm going to sell incense like my neighbor is. Well, why do you want to be like him? Why do you want to be like her? Why don't you be creative and do something different? When you become a manufacturer and start making your own products and doing your own thing, you're not going to sell the same thing that everybody else is selling. And when you start manufacturing, you're selling cheaper. So people get tired of buying the same old things. I know 10,000 real estate agents, so why should I use you? I know 10,000 people selling incense, so why should I use you? So that's where they're coming from with that, why black people don't spend money with black. But when I started selling my wire wheels, I had nothing but black people beating the door down trying to get up in there because nobody else had them. When I started restoring classic cars, I had black people beating the door down because there wasn't a lot of black people restoring classic cars. So it's like the barbershop. I'm not going to let a white guy cut my hair, so I'm definitely not going to let a white guy build my car. So we got to get ourselves aligned in businesses that's going to help us, that no one else has. You know, that's the only way we're going to pull through this. We can't just keep opening up the same thing that everybody else has. All we're doing is driving the prices down. So I don't have anything to do with that. That doesn't relate to me because I don't know anything about that. I had nothing but black people for 19 years that fed me and my family. They fed us well. Very well.
What do you say to the people who say that black folk always want the homie hookup?
Everybody wants the homie hookup. Shit, the Asians wants the I don't have to spend my money with you hookup. So you're lucky I'm spending my money with you. The white people has the, oh, if you give it to me for a deal, I'll bring my friends and family. That ain't just us. You can't just single us out, but everybody wants that. White people are the most frugal people on the planet. They do not want to spend their money, period. I lived in Palos Verdes. That's a multi-million-dollar area where there's multiple billionaires living in that area within the 1 mile per radius or whichever. And there is no expensive stores in that area. It's all TJ Maxx and, you know, regular stores. There are more luxury cars in the black communities than there are in the white communities. So they want more of the hookup than anybody do. It's not just us.
You were mentioning before about, obviously you've got a lot of extensive experience with car parts, since you keep mentioning that in particular. As far as what you want to talk to them about tomorrow, if I was a 12-year-old kid who comes up to you tomorrow, what are you going to say to me?
I'm going to open your mind. I'm going to open your mind up, and I'm going to ask him, do you like to play video games? He's going to say, of course he does. And I'm going to ask him, does he know that the white guy, Asian guy, came into Compton in L.A., into the black neighborhoods, and saw the problems we had, and he went home and made a video game about it called Grand Theft Auto, and now he makes He makes $100 million a day off of those video games, and that always opens their eyes up. So basically, there's value in everything around you. So you need to start capitalizing off of it. Write it down. I'm going to tell them go home and think about some video games of other things that you and your friends do. It makes them go home and write it all down, and let's talk later about converting it into a video game. That's what I'm going to say to them.
Now, what if they ask you any in-depth questions about how do I convert it into a video game? What are you going to tell them then?
Well, just like when I'm going to tell them that he look into the apps. Everything's on Google. Everything's on YouTube. Convert to how do you make an app? Go to YouTube. It'll tell you all about it. Which company do I use to make an app? How do I protect myself to make a video game? It's there. You know, instead of we go and find out what was Kobe Bryant shooting in 11th grade, what was his dunk radius or whatever they call it. I'm not a sports guy. And they go find that information out. It's all on YouTube. You know, other than that, tell him to have his mom call me, and we'll sit down for a consultation, and I'll get the video game out there because that's what I do. I turn thoughts into reality.
What was the name you were saying that you were with an association? What was that name again? Because I'm not from California, so I'm not familiar with that.
Well, the association I just started is called the Leimert Park Village Business Empowerment Committee. It's nothing but it's all about the businesses in the area, the businesses in the park. So it's all about teaching people how to start businesses. And helping the businesses, the pre-existing businesses, take it to an international level. Instead of trying to sell things to everybody in the community or their best friends or family, but let's touch the 7 billion people on the planet. What can you sell to 7 billion people on the planet? That's what I'm going to do.
Any other people do you have with you there as far as the vendors are concerned?
There's about 50 vendors, 50 and up.
Wow. Now, my next question becomes, if y'all got 50 of y'all, why are you not in the building yet?
You said, why don't we have a building?
Yeah, if there's 50 of y'all, what's going on there?
Well, I've only been there for about, I think, 1 year now, and it's only a Sunday thing. And when I got there, I just sat back and I watched and listened and asked questions. You know, I didn't just jump in and try to take charge. Because I didn't want to, I didn't want to just take over anything that somebody else had established. But once I realized that it wasn't established, it wasn't organized, and that these people have been doing the same old things, you know, making their $1,500 to $2,000 a month for the last 4 or 5 years or 20 years, that's when I realized, I said, hey, you know, let's take this to the next level. So that's when I pulled everybody together and said, let's organize this and I'm going to do this. They said, well, you need to be the president because you know more. And I said, no problem. But what I noticed is you have a lot of people, since I managed to organize it, they have gentrification coming through there. They're building a train right past where we sell our parts at. So long story short, I just put this together, and I'm going to see which way we're going to go. But I don't think it may be a good idea to start a building as in a swap meet because it's an outdoor event. So I'm going to see. You got a lot of people who it's like African market.
Now the Asians don't have a problem doing that indoors at all.
Excuse me?
To that I say the Asians in Los Angeles have a problem doing that at all, indoors.
They don't have a problem doing it?
Yeah, I mean, the Asians don't have a problem doing that indoors at all. So I understand what you're saying is that apparently you're referring to the mystique of it, that, hey, this is meant to be an outdoor thing. But, like I say, I mean, it seems like that's, to me, and you can tell me if you have a problem with that or a different perspective on that, or if you think there's, the way I see it is that they are setting themselves up, basically, you know, to go to a Dollar Tree or Dollar Mania type structure is what they're doing. So they're just using this as a way of basically segueing into that. Because ultimately, you know, do you really want to have like a swap meet thing, or do you really want to move to like a to a proper store, you know? And if the goal is to have a store, then, you know, why don't we not just go ahead and get to that as quickly as you can? I understand that don't happen overnight. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, though, is that they've made it very clear that they're trying to get a proper building and a proper setting as quickly as they can. So why would that not be, you know, the preferred mode of travel?
Well, what I'm trying to do is I would like to segue everybody into their own personal, privately owned real estate. To me, being in the mall is like renting an apartment. You're making someone else rich.
So unless you own
the economy. Excuse me?
Unless you own the mall.
Yeah, unless you own the mall. You know, I'm trying to teach them how to own their own mall, you know, so I can segue everybody in the park into their own building, which a lot of them are I'm going to teach them how. I'm going to consolidate them and pull them out of their $1,200 a month apartments, you know, and put them into a building that they own where they can live upstairs and have their business downstairs. So when the business grow, when the building value goes up, they may have $500,000 to $1 million in equity. You know, so I'm going to show them how to get the value out of their dollar. You know, how to market, how to properly market, how to find global products that you can ship globally instead of just to some people that's walking through the mall. So I got.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing. I don't have a problem with anything you said. I think that's a great thing. The only thing is, like, for people like Tariq, for people like me, for people like, you know, Bartholomew and whatnot, the problem that a lot of us have had is that there are really not a lot of, you know, brick-and-mortar actual, you know, addresses that we can deal with. You know, we can tell, you know, go to this store at this place to get our stuff from and things like that. That's always been a problem, particularly in Los Angeles, you know, which would seem to be ironic, but it's not. That's always just been an issue. So if I seem like I'm sticking on that, it's because that has always been a particular problem. You know, now I'm from Louisiana and whatnot, but I mean, that has always been a problem in dealing with the West Coast, is that, you know, brothers never really given us a physical address that we can deal with. It would be different if there was a mall, because, like, okay, for what you're talking about here, okay, let's just say that you did own a mall or even a shopping plaza, okay? And instead of doing it, you know, with street vendors and whatnot like that, you might cycle through people, but at least you would be able to facilitate giving them a physical, giving them a physical location where they can do their business at, you know? Because here's the thing, everybody doesn't need to own everything. Owning things is a great and wonderful thing, and of course, I've preach this now going on 2 decades. So I'm never going to say you should not own things. However, if you did get to work in partnership with another black person and, you know, he's got the location and there's nothing wrong with leasing space from him in that location. You see what I mean?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it if you don't have a problem with being a lessee. But you can't just continue to lease in a place. You got to try to utilize. In this economy, you want to get the most bang for your buck. I only encourage people to put their money where it's going to make them money. And being in the mall is not going to make you money in the long run. Yeah, you might have $1 million that you made over the last 10 years, but do you own anything? No, you don't.
Okay, now to that I will say Dillard's. There's a number of different stores that still work out of malls for the most part. So is what I would say to that. I work for the largest corporations in this country, AT&T, Verizon, Comcast. I go down the damn list. And most of our equipment that we use to work with at these places was leased. Our computer terminals. A lot of the vehicles, a lot of folks don't know that. A lot of the stuff that we use was actually leased. you know, our Dells and Hewlett Packards and whatnot, and every 2 years, we'd cycle them out and send them back. So we actually never stopped. And they still do it to this day, by the way, those companies. They still do it to this day. Like I say, they just lease the equipment perpetually. Now, I'm not saying, of course, everybody's not a multinational corporation. Of course, that's not the case.
We're talking about apples and oranges. We're talking about buildings versus parts.
Yeah, but I mean, a building.
We're talking about real estate versus cars.
Yeah,
I
understand
cars
what you're
are liability.
I understand what you're saying. What you're saying is an ideal, owning a location, but that's not always the best thing, though. I'm not arguing against it. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is that we ought to have the ability to have both. You know, buy it if you need to, but if you don't, we should have other black people we can deal with in situations where buying it is necessarily necessary.
Well, that's worked off of the biggest name in business right now, which is Walmart. Walmart is the biggest real estate holder probably in America. They own more land than pretty much any other corporation out there. And it's because they own every building they're in. They don't just own them. It's because they build them from the ground up, which I teach. Is because that's why they're able to have the prices so affordable, because they're not paying anything to build those buildings. And then when they build the buildings, they put pads on them and they sell them to their friends, to Staples, to Office Depot, to McDonald's, to all these other restaurants. So by the time that store is up and complete and ready for business, they've already profited $10-20 million. So now they can go in there and buy a box of cereal for $1 and sell it for 50 cents, because they've already made a profit in the construction of the property. So if you build together, it's not buy, but build your structures, your businesses, you will move in with a profit. Therefore, you won't have to sell things. You will not be in competition with others. Does that make sense?
That does make sense for what they're doing. But on the flip side, you got Best Buy, Target, Kroger's. They, for the most part, they lease their locations, which is what Walmart used to do. But for the best, Target goes toe-to-toe with Walmart, leasing most of their locations. I know, because they lease all the locations here in the Shreveport-Bossier area, for example. So that's what I'm saying. It can work either way. Of course, everyone love to be Walmart, of course. You know, in a situation like that, what you're saying, that model doesn't work.
Let me explain business to you. I come from I've been in business for 19 years in development.
I've got a pretty good business background also. I don't think you're going to educate me about how Walmart and the Walmart real estate company works, but you can definitely explain what you want to explain. But I don't think it'll be something I don't know.
Well, I don't know I don't think you would have made that statement. The reason why
Was there something untrue or unfactual about the statement I made? Let's start there. Was there something unfactual
something that you
about
wasn't aware of? I'm not trying to put you down or say anything negative.
No,
I'm
saying, was there
something
unfactual
that you weren't aware of that they were doing?
I'm saying, was there something unfactual? Was there something about it that was factual?
Excuse me?
Was there something in my statement that was not factual?
No, you're pushing, saying that they're leasing, so it's not a bad thing. And I'm trying to let you know that they are, yes, correct, they are leasing. But what I wanted you to know is, just like you're familiar with Toyota's leaving California, going to Plano, Texas?
I know they did build a different plant.
So when you have small towns or certain areas, they'll ask you to bring mayors of cities go to these big corporations and say, hey, if you come to our town and open up a Target, a Walmart, or a Best Buy, we'll give you the building. We will give you the building. We'll give you 50 acres for free. Just come here. We will give you $40 million to bring your company here. So we can't say they're necessarily leasing. If I owned a 100,000 square foot strip mall or shopping mall, I might go to Louis Vuitton and say, hey, I will give you my 20,000 square foot lead store building if you come in here for free. I will give it to you free because with you, I can go pull Neiman Marcus. I can get Tiffany. I can get all the rest of them because you're here. So you're going to come in for free. Just like in Compton, California, Omar Bradley was the mayor, and he went to all the places. He said, if I built the building for you, will you bring the jobs? Wells Fargo said yes. Home Depot said yes. So all of those people moved to Compton purely because they got the building for free. So these people, you think they're leasing, but they're really not. They actually got paid to be there.
Now let's talk about that. What you are saying is technically not inaccurate. It is factual. However, there's two sides to it. First of all, a corporation is not going to just bring their business to your town because you got a building and you asked. We got several lots here in Shreveport, for example, that we tried to get Walmart to build on, and Walmart actually went to court to build down there on Artist Taylor. Because the neighborhood on Artist Taylor did not want a Walmart there. Walmart went past other locations that we offered them so that they could go build down there. Now, in the case you're talking about where the cities or even states, actually in Louisiana we have an entitlement for that. And yes, you're correct. A lot of cities do that. They offer tax breaks. They offer tax credits. They offer land tax credits. Here with the GM plant that was here that built the Chevy Colorado in the Canyon, before that the S10 in the Sonoma, we gave them a 25-year tax-free lease, on the land, and then had actually renewed it. Now, we did that for General Motors because they brought $1 billion. With Walmart and Target and the rest of them, you're correct. You can use enticements, but here's the thing. The goal of enticement is that they always expire. In the cases of Target, for example, they didn't get an enticement. They actually paid top dollar. In the case of Best Buy, same thing. So you're correct. It does happen. But number one, don't just bring it out of the charity of their heart. Even if you gave them the building for free, no taxes on the land, tax credits and whatnot, they still have to pay for their utilities. They ain't free. They got to pay for their employees, their health care, their overhead, advertising. So there are still going to be excuses. You have lessened the blow. And you've made it a lot cheaper than it otherwise would have been in a lot of cases. But at some point, usually within 5 years, their enticements will end. And now they basically have to stay there. And they've got a
business. Not necessarily true. The enticements will never end based on the fact that they will move. These companies, these governments, these mayors, these cities are begging these corporations to not leave. They are babying them, whining and dining them, because they know if this company, just like when Toyota left, they're going to take thousands of jobs with them. Because it's not just about Toyota leaving. It's they got the people who make the glass. They got the people who make the floor mats. They got the people who make custom rims. All of these companies are going to leave with them. They
right,
don't even have the name
apply,
Toyota.
But
so
that doesn't apply
you don't
to, want
to
like,
let your flagship leave. You're going to make sure you're not going to let something like a $2 million building or $80,000 a year rent stop you from letting this guy leave. So trust
they will never
make a payment on anything.
You're correct if you're dealing with an auto manufacturer. You're correct if you're dealing with an auto manufacturer who has suppliers and whatnot. Those are multi-billion-dollar operations that have suppliers. That's not going to apply with just like one store for Target or Walmart. That's not going to apply to them, though. Not like that.
That's not true. That does apply for them. When you have a Walmart in a shopping center, let's say you have a regular strip mall here, a regular shopping center with there's not a Walmart inside of it. The rent's going to be in this 1,000-square-foot building. The rent's going to be $800 to $1,200 a month. Now, if you have one with a Walmart in there, it's going to be $2,000 a month. They're going to get more money because there's a brand store there. Walmart is a multi-billion-dollar-a-year store. So I know as a business owner, I want to put my business close to Walmart, across the street from Walmart,
on the way to Walmart because I'm going to generate a lot more passerbyers because they attract billions of dollars worth of customers a year versus me saying, hey, I'm going to put my business next door to Joe's Puking Group, something no one's never heard of before. Walmart spends $100 million a year on commercials, so I would like to benefit from those commercials. They're spending tons of money, tons of dollars on advertising, so if you can get in line, be in the parking lot, be across the street, be right off the exit of the freeway that's headed to Walmart, you're going to benefit. So you will see so many people who follow Walmart because they know this game. If you own businesses, you know that.
Well, what the term that you're looking for that you did not use, but term that you're looking for is called anchor tenant. And in a shopping center, yes, you do have an anchor tenant that all of the other buildings are built around or other facilities can be built around. However, there is no, you said they know that store is going to make $1 billion. There is no singular store that makes $1 billion at Walmart.
Well, it's $1 billion.
Your analogy does not hold for a single store. It holds for a multi-billion dollar corporation that builds cars, yeah. And when they build a car plant, well, a car plant is a $1 billion facility, yes. A Walmart store. So what you're saying is correct.
Well,
anchor tenants and whatnot. What you're saying is right. That is correct. But all enticements end. They have to end. Because if you don't, you have had no reason to bring them there because the point is to bring jobs and property taxes for the city. That's the only two things that a business provides are jobs and property taxes. You cannot tax credit your way to property taxes from a business. If you give them all tax credits, you never made any property tax money off of them. So you give them, you make sure that you get them there cheap. You've given an enticement to get them there cheaper. But eventually we stop this because otherwise we never make anything off in property taxes. And employee wages is not enough because those wages may or may not contribute to the city or not. It depends on how much shopping the employees would do. But even still, that's going to be a net loss if we never actually tax business for being there. So your enticements, that's one thing for a car plant that hires so many massive number of people. And even though Toyota may get a tax-free lease, just like here, GM got a tax-free lease, but A.G. Simpson did not. The GM suppliers did not get a tax-free lease. So GM requires that their suppliers be within 15 minutes of the plant. So the suppliers were required to be here, whether they wanted to be or not. They were required to be by the company. So guess what? GM is tax-free, but you guys aren't. So we actually got all of them. So it made sense for us to give that to a General Motors. But for us, even for a Walmart store, it'd be different if all the Walmarts were in the state of California or all the Walmarts were in Louisiana. But in a case where we're dealing with just one store, you are exactly that, just one retailer. So the enticement isn't going to work for you like it does for them. We'll make it easy for you to get here. And in Shreveport, we don't give enticements anymore, by the way, except to large employers. And that only applies if the building is actually already there. Right now, we don't have any buildings to give. We haven't had any buildings to give for 10 years. An enticement only works if the enticement is going to expire or if you're dealing with a massive employer in one area. Enticement fails if you just give perpetual credit. It defeats the purpose of the enticement. And if we go look up the stores where you are, you'll find that the enticements are limited. They're not perpetual. It can't be. It would defeat the purpose of having an enticement.
I think you're – well, I mean, I agree with you, but disagree with you.
I'll tell you what I'll do.
You have two different – you have two different worlds.
Look, I got people in Compton. No, it's not. It's the planet Earth. It's the same world. It's planet Earth. I got people in Compton. I will go and look this information up for you, okay? And I will tell you the stores in your city, Compton or Los Angeles, whichever you prefer. You name the one you want to look at. I will go and find myself, and I will show you that the enticements are temporary. Since you don't think they are, and you don't believe they are, I will look it up for you, and I will show you that the enticements are temporary. They must be. By definition, they have to be. So you've said they're not. I say they are. I'll go look them up for you. Which city would you like me to look him up for, Los Angeles or Compton? Which one would you prefer?
I'll go in Los Angeles. It doesn't matter.
Okay, I will look up in Los Angeles. Now, you name for me the store or business that you think that the enticements are permanent at. Name it for me, and I will go and find it for you and show you that it's not, because it can't be.
Okay, first of all, I would like to say that you can't believe everything you read.
No, I will contact your politicians for you, okay? I will contact your Department of Economic Development for you, and I will get them to tell you when the enticements are going to end. Now, if you're going to say that if you're going to say that we cannot believe the people who gave the enticements, then I don't know what you're arguing. I don't know what you're saying if you're going to say that we can't believe the people who gave the enticements.
I'm going to just put it like this. I'm a business coach as well as a consultant to million-dollar corporations. I negotiate these deals, period. I will not bring a company into a city without an enticement. I will not move into a strip mall without some type of enticement. You have people calling me saying, can you help me to fill my store? Can you help me to fill my mall? Can you help me to fill this? This is what I do for a living, so I'm talking from knowledge, not from something that somebody told you. So if you were to go and look, and just in particular, look at Toyota.
You're talking around it. Will you please tell me the store that you think gets a permanent enticement, and I will prove to you they don't. You've already said the city. Please give me the store now, and I will prove that they don't.
I mean, you're wasting your time. I mean, I don't want to debate you because I can't tell you nothing that you don't already know. You're one
but
of those people that
you
know it.
Said,
it says it's in the book, so you believe it. So I'll leave it at that.
No, it's the people who gave it. It's the people who gave it. I'm saying let's go ask them if what you're saying is accurate, because I'm saying we ask the people who gave the entitlements. They're going to say what you're saying is not accurate. And you said it is. Now, we need people to have accurate information, because Negroes can't keep going off of folk guessing and making things up as they go along. So one of us is wrong about this. Simple as that.
Let's see who's wrong. The person that owns the businesses, that consults the businesses, or the person that works the job?
Okay, the question was about the enticements. And I said the enticements are temporary, and you said, no, they're permanent. Now, I'm saying name the store that gets a permanent enticement, and I will sit here and show everybody. If I'm wrong, I will put it out there and say, man, this guy really knew his stuff. I didn't know California was doing absolutely stupid and crazy things like giving permanent enticements and tax credits.
Okay, you know what? You're absolutely right. Let me correct myself. You're absolutely right. Maybe the enticement was for 3 years. You agree with that? Let's say so it expired in 3 years, correct?
Okay, if it doesn't expire in 3 years, that would sound about right.
So please believe me when I tell you when the 3 years is up, they're back at the table renegotiating, period. Every time those enticements expire, they're right back at the table renegotiating.
Now that
they're
is what they're
begging them not to leave.
What you're correct about that, depending on the size of the establishment and who they are, yes, that can happen. However, for most of them, it will not happen. So I'm not
every
saying it doesn't happen.
Every chain store is being pleaded not to leave. Trust me. I mean, but you know what? You don't have to believe me. I'm the guy that's on YouTube. I'm the guy that's giving classes around, just traveling around teaching this stuff for a living. My name is Thomas Lofton. You can just Google me and I'll pop up. You know?
I'm very glad to hear that, but here's my thing. If you're going to educate these other people on filling their malls, I don't see why I keep saying that kind of thing.
Because I'm a realist. I'm telling you what's the truth. What's going to tell you? Where have I been?
Well, no. Look, I mean this with all due respect. I'm not being a jerk about this. I'm just saying that I would not take advice from somebody who has not built a mall themselves.
Who have not built a mall?
Who has not filled one. If he doesn't have a store in a mall, I don't understand why I'm asking him for assistance with mine. And I'm not taking a shot at you here. I'm just saying that you said that that's the basis upon your expertise on these things. And what I'm saying is I can understand that you have a grasp of some of these things, okay? I can understand. You got a grasp of some of these things. But we need to be certain about our information. You're talking about owning everything. Owning things does make sense to a certain degree. But if that's the only thing we're going to talk about, you just own your business. And sometimes it makes sense for business to have facilities. Other times it doesn't. American corporations do not buy real estate overseas. They buy business and assets. They don't buy real estate. They buy patents. They buy facilities if they need it, but they don't buy real estate. Now, sometimes they'll purchase a place if they're going to be there for a long time, but everything does not require that. And what I'm saying is that it would be nice if instead of us just simply talking about one thing, we got to talk about all of it. Yes, owning is good, but you know what? Sometimes leasing is better. And if we don't know how to talk to these young folk about when owning is good and when leasing is good, we are not giving them a full rounded idea of what they're supposed to be doing. I think it would be a good idea, for example, if someone like you, for example, had a facility and someone like me could tell them, you know, instead of you being on this corner out here on Crenshaw, why don't you go talk to my man over here in Lamarck? He's got a building. He's got a facility. And I would feel better about him leasing from you for 3 or 5 years. Maybe he needs to leave after that 3 or 5 years. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe it's better for him to stay. Maybe it's more advantageous for him to stay.
Well,
do you see what I mean, though?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm going to reflect back on some things you said earlier. Story short, black people are so behind because there are so many educated people that are so stupid guiding them. Any person who says, oh, fix your credit, I'm going to hook you up and sell you a house. They're stupid. They're on misinformation. They're caught into the system. They're going off of what they were taught in the system, which was planted by Europeans to continue to hold us back.
I'm not understanding. Are you saying that people should not fix their credit or they should not buy a house to fix their credit?
I'm saying that it is a known fact when you buy houses in this economy, you're going in upside down, negative, in the red, because all houses are overpriced. But when you build houses, you're going in with equity in them.
Okay,
you don't see TV shows on TV talking about build this house.
Yes, you do.
Flip this house. Excuse me?
Yeah, I mean, y'all watch the Home and Garden Channel. They got a bunch of shows that talk about just that.
Just what?
They have shows that talk about whether you should build a house, buy a house. They got shows that deal with that. But here's my real thing about that, okay? What I want to find out here, though, is that you said something there. Are you saying that because I'm not quite understanding what you're getting at there. Are you saying that people should not buy a house to fix their credit, or are you saying that they shouldn't worry about fixing credit at all?
You shouldn't even be worried about credit. Credit is what put us in the situation we're in now. You don't need credit when you're trying to build a house. You don't need credit when you buy land.
Okay,
land,
so
some,
owner,
in certain, wait, let me correct myself. In certain areas, you don't need credit to buy land.
Why don't you give me a couple of examples of where you do not need credit to buy land?
For example, California City is the fastest growing city in America. In California, Palmdale, California, Lancaster, California, California City is the fastest growing cities in America. Warren Buffett just went out there and bought a lot of land out there. Richard Branson is out there buying up everything. So you can go to California City, California, and negotiate a deal with the person who's selling his land right there between you two.
No real estate agent involved. He says he wants $2,000 for his 10,000-square-foot parcel of land. You say, okay, I can afford to give you $500 down, and I can only pay you $150 a month. He says, fine, let's go for it.
But
no,
that's
credit
a problem.
Was never ran.
But that's a problem. Ain't nobody selling a piece of land for $2,000 that's worth anything.
Are you talking from experience, or are you just assuming?
If it's only $2,000, sir, there is no such thing as a commercial piece of land that's only $2,000. If it is, it ain't worth nothing.
Okay, see, now this is the problem. This is,
more than that.
This is why black people are in the situation they are now, because of people like you just talking about things that they have absolutely no clue of without doing the proper research. So we're sitting here in front of millions of, hopefully a lot of people listening, and they're listening thinking, oh, he's a radio host, so he knows what he's talking about. But in reality, you don't. You don't have a clue,
okay.
But you did not listen
show
to what
me.
I just said, what I do for a living.
Okay,
you did
show
not hear
me
what I said.
Show me a commercial piece of real estate in California that's not calling itself commercial and is out in the boonies. Show me one that somebody would actually want to buy that is $2,000. Show me one.
Okay, I'll show you one that's $500. Get on the internet. Get on Google and punch in California City. Type
okay,
in
sir.
Development. Look that
name,
up for us.
Name one. Because I'm saying I don't believe that.
Well, of course you don't, because you haven't looked it up yet.
Okay, don't tell me
you
what
you said.
You
have never heard
tell
of California
you...
City until I just told you.
Sir, do you know how
correct?
Many people I got listening right now who are from California? Do you know how many? Do you have any idea how many people are listening to you right now who are from California and their eyes are rolling back in their heads right now? I
well,
ask
are
you
talking
to anyone,
from back because you're looking at them? Why don't you
sir,
have them
I'm
call in and let's see how many of them even know where California City is?
Okay, sir, I'm asking you to give me a fact. Don't tell me California City. Tell me the address.
Of course I don't have an address sitting in my hand.
How
you asked for a city.
See?
I gave you a city. Now you want an address.
Next
you're going
to
want an APN number. Come on.
It? How long do you need to find it? I will come back to you. How long do you need to find it? Because if I'm wrong, I will let everybody see I'm wrong. How long do you need to find it?
I can literally get on the internet. And first of all, a piece of land doesn't have an address because it has yet to be developed. It has an APN number.
Okay, fine. Give us the longitude and latitude. We'll find that then. It's got a parcel.
All you have
up.
To do is pull
sir,
up California. Go into
it's
Google, pull up California City Real Estate. That's
it's
all
got,
you have to do is go,
sir,
go into Zillow. Go into Tratua, whatever the other one's called.
Sir.
Pull up California City Real Estate and punch in you don't want to see anything over $5,000. And watch how many pieces of land pops up.
Okay, but it's not about pieces of land popping up. It's about is that a piece of real estate that is worth anything and going to make any money or off in the boonies or the desert
that's,
or the mountains?
Well, let me explain to you again what I do for a living. I'm a consultant. I'm a real estate and business consultant. I'm a coach. I encourage, I take people to these places. I give field trips taking people to these places to show them things that's going on that they have absolutely no clue. I'm writing a book right now. I have phrases out that say people in Los Angeles spend $1 million to make $100,000, where people in the surrounding deserts or suburbs spend $100,000 to make $1 million.
Okay, here's what I want you to do here, okay? Because everybody needs to find out if I'm just full of crap. I don't know what I'm talking about. My email address is The Black Authority. The Black Authority, T-H-G Black Authority.
Hold on, let me find a pen. The Black Authority, hello.
At yahoo.com.
The Black Authority.
At yahoo.com.
Okay.
Now, what I want for you to do is I want you to find me three of these pieces of real estate. It doesn't even matter what they are. I don't care. Just three of them that are approved by you. That you say will substantiate what you said tonight. I don't care if you send me a message tonight or if you send it to me tomorrow or next week, although it shouldn't be longer than next week. I will wait for you to send me that information of a piece of land in California that is commercial and is actually worth a damn
First of all, we were talking about residential.
Oh, no, I said commercial.
We started off talking about building houses.
I said commercial three or four times.
Go ahead.
I said commercial three or four times. I said commercial.
Yeah, you did after the fact. But no problem. There's no problem. There's no problem. That's
no
problem.
You send that to me, and I'll take a look at that, and I will actually read it here on the broadcast without even looking anything up. I will just read it as soon as I get it, and I'll just read it, and I'll just take it from there. Because if that actually exists, buddy, I'll come out and go buy all of them. Now, I don't know if you can say that, I will come out and go buy all of them. I would love to have, for that $2,000, how big a parcel of land would you say that is?
Excuse me?
For that $2,000, how big, how many square feet, how many acres, how large would that piece of land be for that $2,000?
Between 8,000 to 12,000 square feet. You say earlier that you were going to pull up something for me and look into which business when their negotiation was going to expire.
You were going to name it for me. Now, you're telling people that
exactly. So I was going to name it. You were going to pull it up right there. So I'm asking you a question. Have you pulled up California City Real Estate?
Sir, I'll come back to that.
Can't you do that while we're here on the phone?
No, because I clarify something right quick first. I want to make sure about this. You told everybody that they can get an acre, 2 acres of land, commercial.
I never used the word acre.
No, you didn't.
I never used the word acre.
No, you didn't. You said 12,000 feet.
Excuse me?
You said 10 to 12,000 square feet.
Yes. That's a quarter of an acre. An acre is 43,560 square feet. Quarter of an acre is like 12 somewhere.
Okay. You're telling people that we can get land in California because you're not going to be able to build. How big of a business are you going to be able to build on 10,000, 12,000 square feet, first of all?
First of all, you're going to be able to build a big business on that piece of land. Your average auto shop is maybe 4,000, 5,000 square feet.
What? Okay. If you want to build something, and if we're going to by your standards here, we're going to buy a couple of acres for $6,000 or $8,000.
Where do you keep getting the word acre from? I never not one time used acre.
Okay, sir, what I'm saying is that if we're going to be building a substantial business, 10 or 12,000 square feet is not going to cut it.
Excuse me?
So if all you're going to say is that we're going to go grab a shunt of 10 or 12,000 square feet somewhere, and if that's going to be really valuable, this is going to be something to see. Because if it were really valuable, why is it only selling for a couple of thousand dollars?
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, I'm not a big debater. I don't deal with people, speculators, people who don't believe
in me.
I deal with open-minded people who are tired of the same old, same old. And it seems to me you're deliberately holding your people back.
Okay,
where you
I'm
can
not
say,
debater,
people,
sir,
look up,
I
let's prove this guy wrong, Google
sir,
it, and let's see.
Sir, I'm not a debater. I just count. Now, if you
what?
Call that debate, I'm not a debater. I just count. Now, if you consider that to be debating because I actually count things, then I'm not sure what to tell you. But I'm not a debater. I just count. That's all. I just believe in counting.
Like I said, I teach classes called the Creating Wealth from the
Sir.
Dirt, business and real estate investments from the
Sir.
Ground up. And that's
I
exactly
that's
what I
wonderful.
Teach people.
I think that's a wonderful
build
thing,
houses,
but first
build
you're
buildings.
Tell us,
don't buy
you're going to tell us that we're going to buy a piece of land that's worth something now in California for $2,000.
Okay. Again, I normally get paid for this stuff here, but did
you
not
get
hear
paid?
Me say, excuse me?
And that's the thing right there that I'm getting at is I think
me?
Those folks, and like you said, you get paid for this. Why don't you just send me those links, okay? Just send that to me. I'll take a look at that. That way people have some actual information.
Well, they have the information because I just named off the fastest growing city in America that's not being talked about on the news.
Okay. And,
I just
and
named off the richest, one of the richest people on the planet that's putting billions of dollars into that community.
Yeah, and
so
it's
I
worth
shouldn't
so
have to
you,
email you a couple
so
of
much,
things. That's not a big paper trail.
And it's worth
that's
so
not a
much,
small paper. That's a huge paper trail to follow.
And it's worth so much that you can pick up acre for $10,000.
I just gave you and your show $1 billion worth of information. So
yeah,
I'm giving a because, free workshop
if,
talking about it, showing
right.
it on the 15th at Healthy African American Families
brother,
in Los Angeles, California.
If you are right
them.
About this, then if you are right about this, then there's no reason that I shouldn't be able to come down there and drop $20,000 and walk off with the whole place.
Well, I'll tell you this, you can
you
drop $20,000 and you
brother,
still
brother,
wouldn't
brother,
put a...
Stop. It's time for you to stop. Just send me your links, okay? No more words, no more argument, no more nothing. Send me your links so I can see the parcels of land you are referring to. And then we ain't gonna talk about it no more. Either you can prove what you're saying or you can't. Show me your parcels of land and let's end the discussion. Now, either I'm right or you're right, and I'm telling you that in California, please. So stop talking and just show us what you got, because I ain't going to talk. I'm just giving you facts, which is why I said
let me ask you a question.
Let's go. No more questions.
No, where are you from? Where are you, who am I talking to?
Over. The time for questions are over. No more debate. No more theories. No more hypotheses. Give me the addresses so we can find these real places you're talking about and see if they're really worth what you say they're worth. Because you're just talking and saying, believe me, it's worth it, believe me. I just gave you millions of dollars of information. He ain't showed us nothing, ain't gave us an address for nothing, ain't showed proof, nothing, but just believe me. I ain't believing nothing. Bring me your proof. Because I'm not asking people to believe me. I brought facts, I bring numbers, I bring addresses, I bring people. You ain't brought nothing. But you want us to believe you. Damn that. Either you can prove what you're saying or
you can't.
You
can't even do that.
Email address. Send it to me. If you send it right now, I will
stop
them to my right now.
I get paid $5,000 to send email addresses of land that's out there.
Ain't nobody got proof of that. You just talking noise. Ain't nobody got proof of that. Get out of here with that nonsense. You tell me all this big talk.
And you wonder why
talk,
the black community
talk.
Is so far
big
behind,
talk.
Don't you?
Big
it's
talk.
People
all
like
you, are
you
big
holding
talk.
Them back.
You brought no proof of nothing. You just big talk about what you done did. Nobody knows you. Nobody's heard of you. You can't even get a storefront of your own, but you can help everybody else get one. For real, nigga? For real? Seriously? You can help everybody else, but you haven't helped yourself. You're going to help us buy all this estate, but you ain't bought nothing yet. You got the answer for everybody. You know Warren Buffett. And I know this place that Warren Buffett's buying land, but you ain't bought none. You haven't bought a square foot. But you're
really?
Telling us
you
that you
sure?
don't teach. Yeah, I know, because you ain't named it.
Why
yeah.
would I name it? Why? Explain, who are you?
Yeah.
Who are
no.
you to name it? Why?
Sir, okay, you already told us I own Compton Rim Shop. You already let that out the bag. Supposedly, you got all these ideas for everybody else around the world, and you claim you get paid big money. All this big talk, big money's rolling, big money's moving, big money's going. He can't show us nothing for himself. I asked him where his building was. He said, maybe 3 to 5 years. So you know how to get a business and how to get a storefront with money down. No credit, no financing for everybody else. Ain't figured out how to do it for yourself yet, though. But we're supposed to believe you. I ain't believing nothing.
Don't ever believe anything anybody says, especially not
okay.
you.
And all you
Google
have brought
it.
Are your words.
Google it. That's all I
you
tell
ain't
you. Google it.
Nothing. All you can tell us is what you talking. Believe me, I get paid by people. He can't show us the check, can't show us a receipt, can't show us nothing, but we're supposed to believe him. I believe nothing I can't see, sir. So what you
then
saying,
why haven't you Googled
nothing.
It yet? You can pull up your email. Why can't you Google it for the show? Are you scared that I'm right? You can't Google California City, California, a city that you've never heard of.
Sir,
you've probably never even been to California before.
There is $500 real estate all over the country. That doesn't mean it's worth anything. That's why it's only $500, because it ain't worth nothing. So I have no doubt that there's plenty of cheap land in every city, including California City. Now, the point is it cheap? The point is it worth anything, which I have repeatedly said. So I want you to show me this cheap land is worth something. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought. If you ever get your act together, you got my email address.
Brother, I know how you operate and who people
waiting.
Like you are. Just continuing to hold people back.
Okay, I'll be waiting. Professor Black Truth, do you see what we're dealing with here?
Oh, this guy is a real expert, a professional BS artist. I mean, this guy got off with me from the jump. He comes to the door sitting here plugging himself. He comes in the door plugging himself, and he's going to sit here and tell us about how he's such an expert, and he's going to be teaching the kids, but he has no idea how many people are going to show up for his next little seminar or whatever he wants to call the classes where he sits here and tries to convince people that he's some sort of shot. This guy is exactly what's wrong with the black community. We got a lot of frauds and fakers out there. Oh, I'm such a businessman. I'm such a businessman. I charge people money for all of this. Then shouldn't you know some of it then? If you're charging people money for it, you ought to be an expert by now. Jason gets on here, and he gives you names, dates, locations, in alphabetical order if you want. When people hear and say, I want to start a floor cleaning business, Jason tells you bit by step by step how to go through it. He doesn't give you hypotheticals, and he doesn't give you conjecture. Guy gets up here and says he had a rim shop, and then apparently he had black customers. That's all well and good, but Jason at some point was asking, okay, great. Tell us about brick-and-mortar locations. You don't need one. He knows how to pimp his newest book. That seems to be a big thing with a lot of these fakers. They come on, I got a book, I got a book. He'll be the first person in human history who's written more books than he's read. That's the only thing this guy will be remembered for. He's the only guy in history to have written more books than he's read. And he wants us to take his word for it. His word for what? He ain't said nothing. And he's sitting here talking about, you can get land cheap in California. Hell, you can get doggone land cheap in Japan. If you're willing to go up into the mountains with the wasps that are about 8 inches long, sure, there's a reason why cheap land in the U.S. is cheap. There's a reason why. Because all the choice real estate has already been spoken for. And the city's selling it to you for no $2,000. Jason's sitting here talking about how to get an economy going, and this guy's saying, well, I ain't talking about commercial real estate. Well, but the black chick we are, and that's what's wrong with black people. Coming in the door looking for a hustle instead of looking for a business. We talk about commercial real estate because that's how you build an economy. And this guy's talking about getting some cheap land. This ain't no vanity project. We aren't talking about sitting here being able to brag, I got me some land. Where at? Well, it's out there in the boondocks. Where at? Well, you drive about 90 miles due west. You stop at the big cactus, then go another 50 miles due east. I mean, this is supposed to be what passes for experts in the black community. That's why we're in such trouble. How's a man going to teach you how to fish unless he can catch some fish himself? How's a man going to teach you how to be a millionaire unless he is one himself? How's a man going to teach you how to have a permanent economic toehold unless he's got one himself? Being a professional BS artist, that's how you hustle little old ladies and people with pensions who don't know any better. When you step in front of intelligent black society, you're not going to be allowed to sit here and come in the door and pimp your doggone website or sit here and plug your book, which ain't worth reading. I wouldn't use it for toilet paper. And then when it's all over, the guy shows no respect. Jason didn't call this clown. This clown called Jason up. There's a reason, whatever the world his name is, Clarence Thomas or whatever it is, there's a reason why you called here and ain't nobody calling you. Jason understands what the world he's talking about. Jason has dealt in real estate. People ask Jason questions about real estate. He can sit there and can educate you about it. You ask this guy questions about real estate. California City, California City, California City. If California City had it popping off, I'll tell you right now, this guy wouldn't be talking about it. Because the people who are really making the big moves in real estate, just like on Wall Street, You don't talk about it. Land is one of those commodities that's precious because they're not making any more of it. But the people who are really making the big moves don't talk about it. This guy's sitting here trying to name drop, trying to location drop. He's not looking to help anybody. He's looking to boost his ego. Well, psychological masturbators need not apply. Intelligent black society don't need them. We're in the fix that we're in right now because we have a big tent that allows clowns like this to come in. But it was instructive for everybody to listen and see. I said from the jump when I checked that guy and said, you know, you've plugged your doggone self enough. You got in your plug. Let's move on. Jason was sitting there like, you know, show some patience. Let's go ahead and give this guy a chance to either prove that he should be here or to hang himself. And sure enough, the guy starts shooting off his mouth because he thinks he knows everything. He can't tell us anything. Oh, but he's so dang smart. He ain't really got a storefront now. Well, he used to back in 1992. Oh, he's going to tell everybody where the choice pieces of real estate are. He just doesn't know where they are. I mean, get real. Get serious. And then he turned around and plugs his book. Because at the end of the day, that's what he came here for. He would have been better off trying to do a stealth bombing run on Facebook, a couple stealth bombing spam runs. Instead, he comes here on the air and makes a complete ass of himself. He has gone from merely being a guy who wasn't the best person to be speaking to showing himself being a guy who shouldn't have spoken at all. Intelligent Black Society, this is what we're up against. This place works not only as a stronghold, it also works as a filter. If the guy knew what he was talking about, he could come in the room and we could have a conversation. Instead, this guy didn't want a conversation. What he was trying to do was to prove to everybody that he's some sort of expert. Don't mind. And then we sit here and say, oh, it's very interesting. What do you got to say? Well, I ain't got nothing to say, but I got something to sell. Oh, really? You going to sell us some land? I ain't going to sell no land. Are you going to sell us some more of your rims? I ain't got no more than wire rims. What are you going to sell us? Well, I got this book. I got this book. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to work. That's how we're going to get Black America out of the fix it's in. You know, that kind of stuff works for professional BS artists and con artists and fakers and frauds, but it doesn't fly with Intelligent Black Society because we're looking for answers. We're not looking to support your hustle. And it's a matter of when he comes in here, what do you think is going to happen? You're coming in the door and you're showing disrespect for the guy who's sitting here trying to give you a spotlight, the guy who's sitting here trying to give you a platform because you didn't have it before, and you come in here and decide you're going to show disrespect. That's amazing. I wonder if this is what he teaches the poor unfortunate who might make the mistake of actually listening to this guy. He does nothing but exactly what the doggone pork chop preachers do. They're experts on the two or three chapters of the Bible that they know, but they can't tell you about anything else. That's the reason why Pastor Pork Chop sits here and tells you that it's okay for you to be having an attitude. It's okay for you to have bastard kids. He tells you that God wants you to have prosperity, but the only business Pastor Pork Chop has is his own church. This is not a group of people who can be taken seriously. I'm not taking them seriously, and you shouldn't either, but I am glad that Jason gave this guy enough time and rope to hang himself, the expert. He bumps elbows with big corporations. He hangs out with the big boys. That's a problem when somebody has to name drop. I know that Jason has held court with Claude Anderson. I know he has. I know that Jason has held court with Don Lemon. I know that he has. So I know that he's held court with Umar Johnson. I know that he has. This guy, he's sitting here and telling all of us that he's sitting here bumping elbows with million-dollar folk, and then, you know, I sell this information. Wow, this is the kind of guy we want on our squad, ain't it?
Now, just so people have some information about that, understand something, because you have to know what you're dealing with here. Now, the average size of a Walmart super center is going to be anywhere from 150 to 250,000 square feet. That's the average size of a Walmart Supercenter. I'm not talking about these new Walmart corner stores. I'd help knock it off. I'm not talking about these little Walmart corner stores. I'm talking about the average size of your Supercenter. Now, that does not include, you know, the surrounding area where they put up their other satellite businesses and whatnot. That's just for the anchor tenant itself. That's just for the Walmart as the anchor tenant. Now, to give you all some idea, the size of the average grocery store in America, the size of the average grocery store is going to be somewhere between, depending on where it is, it's going to be somewhere between 49,000 and 100,000 square feet. All right? Going to be somewhere around there. So the average grocery store in America is going to be anywhere from, you know, 2 to 4 acres altogether. I mean, if we take it from, usually will be about the smallest to the largest to whatnot. If you're going to include your parking lot, back area and whatnot, we're going to hit somewhere between 1.5 acres, 2 acres to 4 acres, basically, depending on whether it's going to be a smaller version of the store or a larger version. Here's my point to you. My point to you is that we've all seen a Kroger's. We've all seen an Albertsons. You've all seen a King Super. Now, if those stores are averaging around 100,000 square feet, you can tell that, wow, that ain't really a hell of a whole lot when you take a look at on the average. So if I were to tell you that, okay, the Kroger's is 100,000 square feet or 150,000 square feet, and Walmart is 250,000 square feet, but I'm going to sell you 10,000 square feet. Somebody please explain to me how much good is that going to do you? And I'm not saying you can't set up a store for that. I'm saying that, wow, is that really going to be very much? Because it's one thing to throw those numbers around in your head. It's another thing to go buy it and go actually see how much you're really dealing with. Because if your house is 2,000 to 5,000 square feet, you can put two of your houses in what will be that store's footprint. And how many of us would think that that is going to be a major move? How many of us would think that? You see, I don't want people who think things, damn thinking things. I want people who know things. And you are not going to be able to set up business in the year 2014 of any substance on just 10,000 square feet unless you are inside of a mall. Now, if you're inside a shopping mall, that might work. And if you're just opening up a dollar store, well, maybe that might work. But I want to know where the prime real estate is in California that is selling so cheaply to set up a business on. If it's really that valuable, how is that occurring? So like I say, I'm not going to belabor the issue. What I am going to say is that the time for talk is over. On the Black Channel, I don't believe in that. I believe in what you know, not what you believe. I believe in what you prove, not what you think. And when I start asking people for specifics, when you start telling me that they give perpetual enticements, when you start talking about anchor tenants and talking about perpetual enticements, but your comparison is a car plant, that's not the same. We're talking about, we started off talking about setting up a storefront, not a car plant. I would never, in honesty, everybody, I would never imagine talking to a 10-year-old child about setting up a car company. Come back to me when you're 25 or 30 and got access to a $500 million in capital Now we can start talking about car plans. Right now, you're not in any position to do that. Right now, you're not in any position to do that. And we in black society waste so much time. We waste so much time dealing with people who come to us with what they think and what they believe and not with what they know. And that's why I told him, if you're white, tell me where it is. I will go find it, and I'll come back here because I want my people to have the right information. Not just to have information. I want them to have the right information. Because that's the only information that you can use. You can't use somebody's damn fairy tales. I want you all to have actionable information, and that means it's got to be right. And I am not going to tell you all to go off into the damn hills of California to go buy some speck of land just so you can say I own one. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. And that's real damn talk. But you know what? He's going to have plenty of time to get back to me. He's going to have plenty of time to get back to us. I'm not holding my breath, though. Call from 216. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Yes, this is Sam calling from Cleveland. Can you hear me?
Yes, what's on your mind?
Okay, I got a couple of statements, and then I want to give a little word of advice. First, let me say I've been listening to the show for about a month. I'm a new listener, but I've been listening to all the episodes, and I appreciate your work, and I understand, you know, everything that you're saying, and I think it's very great what you're doing. First, I would like to talk about dealing with people, black people that, I don't want to use the term black devils, but it's kind of, when we're trying to build up the community, it's kind of like, we're dealing with the black, quote-unquote, devils more than, you know, the real enemy. And I had a story where I was out riding my bike, and this guy almost hit me on his bike, and I didn't want to fight him, and he tried to fight, and, you know, I was real peaceful about it. And it's like, you know, he kept trying to fight me for no reason at all. And it's like, you know, you try and show people love and whatever, and it's just disturbing. But that's not the point. The advice that I want to give is that for everyone that's listening, if you can go to your local produce terminal, and you guys should start buying your produce in bulk. And what you'll be able to do is you'll be able to have enough produce for yourself, and then you'll also be able to share it with your family, your friends, and your neighbors.
Stan. Stan.
Yes.
Thank you for your call. Have a good weekend. Caller from 702, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Yes, this is Devontae from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Finally, a sane caller.
Yeah, heard that little back and forth.
But go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to apologize for my phone shutting down yesterday. Jets flew past, and then my signal was off for about a good 30 minutes. So I apologize for that. I don't know if you noticed that. I just dropped.
Quite all right. What's on your mind, brother?
Not too much. I'm after yesterday and that whole little debacle, I'm just looking for, I gave my friend, the one that was keen on starting his own traffic company, I gave him a call. I haven't seen him for a while. He was out in Arizona with his family. I don't know if he feels that he's made it to such a position that's no longer, you know, in his sites anymore, because he, you know, the company he's with now, you know, things are going well, so it's kind of like he's in a comfortable zone. So it seems like, you know, I just barely like mentioned it a little bit, but then so when I mentioned it, he went to, man, I got the new truck, I got the office, man, they got me these two new programs, man, I could, you know, I got the city on lock. I could go down to the council. I could put my, you know, my plans in, and I don't even have to, you know, sit there. They're already passed. And I'm like, well, you got all of this, and instead of you thinking about taking it with you, you're thinking about, you know, continue to help this company build, which is a fairly new company, but they're not offering you any other incentives but a truck and office and a decent wage. And I'm like, man, you have a lot of, you know, like potential for yourself, period. I mean, you're really the one that's making this happen for this company. And I'm like, you have the, you know, sorry to say this, his father-in-law passed away, so now he actually has the income to really step out on his own, you know, him and his wife together. I don't know if that's something that, you know, he really talked to her about, but I think she's more comfortable in the same setting that he's in right now, you know, him being a worker bee.
Maybe I spoke too soon, everybody. Dante.
Yeah.
Is this going somewhere?
Well, yeah, it's going somewhere because this is something that we technically even really working on for like the last 2 years. I mean, we got everything. All we needed was the capital. And I was like, well, you know, pretty much everything that we need to start is there. And it's just like he took a huge step back. Like, now I'm just comfortable where I'm at, all right, for right now, and I'm just not even thinking about that.
Okay. Well, please tell me you're not going to associate with him anymore.
Well, I mean, I'm going to just do me. Okay. He's going to do him, I guess.
Okay. That's okay. Well, look, if you got folk around, in 2014, bro, I don't have any place for any black person not doing something. I just don't, okay? I just don't. Everybody who's, they get cold feet and whatnot, man, I got no use for him. I've got no use for anybody who's not serious about it. People who are erratic and they're not getting things done and whatnot, brother, I got no use for him. I don't have anything for that fella. Nothing at all. What's he going to do for us?
Nothing. He's going to live his comfortable life.
If he's going to sit here and get cold feet, and if he thinks in the year 2014 that there's anything else other than power, wealth, influence, man, you got better things to do with a Saturday afternoon than fool with that. Just be glad that he's shown himself for what he is quickly. Glad you don't get wrapped up in a bunch of money with him. I'm glad when folks show me. It's just, that's why I grill people the way that I do. I want to find out quickly what this is going to be about. And if it's not going to be nothing, let me keep rolling. I want to find out quickly whether this is going to go downhill or not. I want to find out fast.
Well, that's pretty much where I was coming from. It's like, it seems like with my family, with my friends, it's like everything that I've, you know what I'm saying, that I pretty much thought that these people actually wanted to accomplish. It's just loud talk. It was just loud talk. And then when you come back.
Now, what did they demonstrate in their personal lives or daily behavior that you think?
Well, I mean, me and him did have some business endeavors before that, you know, worked out fairly decent for us, other than the fact that we, you know, we're young and reckless. And, you know, we made pretty good money. We scheduled, you know, shows, promotions. We were pretty legit there for a while, you know, in our early 20s when we were, you know, working with artists and doing, like, promotions and things like that around the town. But it was a combination of fun and work. So I think it was probably more pleasure than business for them at that time when we were doing that. And this is strictly business. And now he's married and he's got this real comfortable life. And it's like, why would I go out and take any risk to have my own when these people are technically taking care of me? Even though I'm making them a ton of money while they're taking care of me, but they're taking care of me. I don't have to worry about, you know, budgets. I don't have to worry about, are we going to have enough, you know, money to get the new contracts and have the ability to actually perform the new contracts. You got to worry about those things. So he's like, they give me everything I asked for. But this is not your company. You're not the one that's, you know, running this. I mean, you're at the top of the list at the company, but it's not your company.
Well, here's the problem, okay? And this is something that happens to a lot of people, and it happens in business all the time. A lot of folk got lucky, and they thought to themselves they were smart. And that's what occurs. A lot of people just got lucky, and they told themselves they were smart. I was a guy who that happened to me. It happened to me. That's how I know. You see, I thought I was smart. And in reality, I did pick up some things. I did pick up some knowledge. But I got hella irresponsible because I figured it was all just that and I didn't have to invest anything else into it. And in reality, yeah, I mean, you can't be a complete fool and succeed at something. That just doesn't happen. But at the same time, you may not realize that your phenomenal success may be as attributable to luck as it is to anything else. And when you said it was something that we enjoyed doing and we started making money at it, brother, that's the way business is supposed to work. But you will find that doesn't make you a businessman. Just because you made money at something you like doing, that does not make you a businessman. If you are able to sustain and grow the money that you made doing something, that makes you a businessman. And unfortunately, too often that's what occurs. So you had some folk, you remembered some victories that they won, or maybe didn't win, but you remember some stuff that they did, you know, 10 years ago. But we got to be, what you're finding out is that we have to be a lot more scrutinizing. A lot more.
You're going to find out, Jay, this is going to be a solo, you know, deal right here. If anything's going to happen, it's going to be me, myself, and I. Because that's the way it's looking.
Brother, it's got me. It's got to be, because you got too many Negroes like the fella who's on the phone. I mean, you got too many folk. Man, you got too many black men who are out here bull-jiving, brother. And I just say it like it is. We have got too many black men who are out here bull-jiving. They're talking theory. They're trying to use jargon, or in the previous person's case, can't even do that, and they're trying to convince other people that they know. They're trying to use jargon. They're trying to bluff their way through conversations. They're doing everything except giving actionable information. Enough! Enough! We have got entirely too many people out here doing that. Too many. And it's a situation where we as black men, we got to do it ourselves. We got to. And that's why I created this place, so that we would have an opportunity to separate real from the phony. That was why I put this place. But brother, it's very, very few black men that you can deal with, because did you notice that when he talked about being a street vendor and stuff, did you notice the first thing I said was, well, the Asians. And Professor Truth, I know you caught this too. I said to him that the Asians and the Hispanics, they buy stores. Hell, they buy whole malls out there in California, in Los Angeles. And if anybody wants to dispute me or debate me on that, I'll show them to you. They buy whole malls out there, and that is their swap meets out there. And the black vendors are mad as hell because the Asians own the building, and all they let in are the Hispanics as the vendors. And black folk, they don't want to let black people in. So he's out there on the street corner with all the other street corner hustlers. But the Asians and the Hispanics, I mean, let me say something right here, everybody. Who in hell wants to be shopping on the damn street corner in July in Southern California? I'm from Louisiana, and I know it's hot as hell in Southern California. They got some temperatures out there that will match anything we get here. Now, we got more humidity, but they got temperatures out there that match anything we have in Louisiana in the summertime. And the heat down here will kill you. I've seen people who were outside for 2 hours and were dead. I didn't say person. I said people. And you want me to believe that your customers prefer to be on the street corner and prefer to be outdoors in Southern California in the middle of July? It don't sound like your customers prefer that. It sounds like your lack of ability prefers that. And you prefer that your customers prefer to accommodate your lack of ability. If that was the best way to do it, then why the hell are these Asians and Hispanics spending all this damn money on these buildings? Why the hell is that?
Customer comfort. Who wants to, no one wants to be outside if they don't have to be. It's silly. That's just a necessity for the time being. If you start there, that's where you start. But your goal should be, you know, a brick-and-mortar storefront. That's what your goal should be. That's not some place you start and want to stay. And anybody with common sense should know that. I mean, people go to the swap meets outside for deals. That's why they're standing out in that heat or, you know, standing out in the rain or wherever, you know, the weather may bring their way, but that's because of the deal. It's not because it's nice to be outside while you're shopping. I mean, that's just the excuse to say, oh, no, this is the way we do it. No, that's the way that you have to do it until you, you know, are being profitable and being able to move into a storefront and then hopefully being able to franchise.
Well, that's the point is you can't franchise a street corner, brother. You can't do that. He wants to talk about Walmart. Walmart's got buildings, dude. One minute he wants to talk about buildings. The next minute he wants to talk about you don't need them. Everybody else is a building except him. But he's going to teach all of you how to get a building. Huh? I ain't got a building, okay? I don't need a building, okay? You need one. I do, and I'll show you how to get it. Really? This is why you got to do it yourself, bro. This is why you got to do it yourself. I was lucky to find somebody like Professor Black Truth. I was lucky to find that. If you can find one black man in America who ain't bull-jiving, man, you better keep up with him. You better keep up with him. Because most of these dudes out here, they're as bad as the hoe talking out their neck. The females are screwing up their lives trying to tell everybody how to get a man. And the brothers are out here going ass backwards trying to tell y'all they're going to show you how to get money. And I'm trying not to beat up on him. I really, really am, okay? I'm trying not to. But we got too many brothers and whatnot, man. We got too many brothers, you know, in the Nation of Islam and all them other folk, man. They got that hustle mentality and whatnot. And everywhere they go, they bring that with them. Ain't nobody trying to build nothing. Everybody's trying to hustle something. That's a problem, everybody. That's a problem. That's a problem. And I knew what made me go left was not when he was talking about the enticements. That was not what made me go left. What made me go left was when he started talking about you don't need credit. That a business does not need credit. Now, he named Warren Buffett, stellar credit. Walmart, stellar credit. Richard Branson, stellar credit. All these people with stellar credit, and he's telling us that we don't need none. That we need none. None. Zero. Nada. Credit score 200. No problem. What? Did he really say that? You can't buy a car with no credit, but he's going to show you how to buy land and a business with no credit. Now, at some point, you have to start saying, okay, this Negro is not selling knowledge. He is selling a hypothesis that is probably based on him fast talking. I don't do that, bro. I don't do that. I had Simone on here last week, and we just gave y'all a straight game about what you need to know. Everybody wants to sit up here and give y'all shortcuts and jive talk. They don't want to talk to you like adults. A child wants to hear I can get something for nothing. A child wants to hear I can have sex with everybody and nothing's going to happen. A child wants to hear I can have all these bastard babies and just treat them like luggage. An adult understands that that's not the way things work. And an adult understands that you don't get nothing, something for nothing. If your credit is not good, you can forget having a successful business. You might be able to get started with some bull jive street corner operation somewhere, but you will never move on to something bigger because at some point you will need a banker. And the first, he's going to want to see your assets and he's going to want to see your credit. And as a matter of fact, he's going to get your credit before he starts asking about your assets. Because if your credit ain't no good, there's no reason for us to continue this conversation. Your credit tells me how good you manage your own personal business. And if you can't manage your own personal finances, I'd be a damn fool to think that I'm going to lend you $100,000 and you're going to know how to manage that. Black males talking about going to help us build an economy, but then doing everything in the world they can to duck and dodge and avoid going through a proper financial system. We're going to build a financial system, and then he's going to tell you that we don't. Coming at us with damn European stuff. European. But according to him, he's mastered what the Europeans got. So much so to the point that he give you a $500 or $2,000 speck of land out in the damn desert of California. Out in the desert of California. And he's going to show you how to make money in the desert. So he's mastered the European system, but when you ask him of what he knows about this system, all of a sudden now it's a European system. But just a few minutes ago, he knew all about it. And he's talking about the European system and how that's for them, and yet telling you that he helps major corporations. Aren't those corporations the European system? Yeah, they are. No, brother, we ain't going to go nowhere with Negroes talking out both sides of their necks. We ain't going nowhere with that. And we are inundated with them. That's why I started off this broadcast saying that I want the drought in. Miles and miles of water and not a drop to drink. We're inundated with fools. We're inundated with whores. We're inundated with fast talkers. We're inundated with jive talkers. We're inundated with hustlers. We're inundated with people in denial. We're inundated with people who want us to believe things, not know things. And they're learning to mix a little truth with all their lies. They're learning how to mix all that together. Enough. Enough. If you don't know, sit the hell down, shut the hell up, and learn. I'm from Louisiana, and I ain't dumb enough to sit up here and think that somebody can pick up a reasonable piece of land anywhere in America for commercial purposes for $2,000. Get the hell out of here. If good land was worth that, was that cheap, it'd have been bought. That's why they call it value. The more valuable it is, the more it costs. $2,000 is dirt cheap. And I live in Louisiana. That's dirt cheap. Dirt cheap. And acting as if I should know that. Please. You're going to tell me real estate prices in California are cheaper than they are in Louisiana? I live in Louisiana, and I'm not going to believe that. Then telling us we don't need credit. You don't need credit. You don't need money. I'm going to buy a $2,000 piece of land and pay you $150 a month. Really? But I'm going to put a business here that makes $20,000 a month. Guy who owns the land just got rolled. Man, get the hell out of here. I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, Jason, when you wake up and you realize your team sucks, you thought you were a great player, but you're realizing, okay, these are the people you surrounded yourself with. You gotta question everything, step back, and reevaluate. Realize that this team does suck, and you need to build a new one. you might have to even look at yourself first. Actually, that's the first person you should look at. And then move forward from there. Black first.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much for joining us here tonight. Professor Truth, we're in a drought, brother. We're in a drought of sensibility. We are in a drought of competence, in a drought of honesty. We are in a drought of initiative, of ambition. We're in a drought of honest people. And the enemy is all over us, and people are not just accepting that and recognizing it.
Oh, but we got a deluge of fakers, fraud, and bastard baby makers. No lack of them. We're drowning in them, flooded with them. Intelligent Black Society, just understand something. Last night we had a stellar broadcast, and most of the B1 Brigade, only I think we have the two stragglers who didn't show up, but most of the B1 Brigade was here. And here we are the day after, and look what we got. We got the people who, you know, the Johnny-come-latelys, the people who we never heard before, they're coming in the door, and look what they're bringing. What they're bringing with them is their sales pitch, pathetic as it is. They're not going to teach you nothing, not going to help you out in any way. They're not coming here to build anything. They're just here to see what they can get. Take this with you as you move forward. Take this with you. We got a bunch of people in Detroit who didn't take the threat seriously. Now they do, but it's too late. Got a bunch of people in Atlanta, already a lost cause. When you decide that you're going to sit here and follow your crotch, you don't get very far. Intelligent Black Society is the only shot that we got, and a damn good one. But we are going to use this place as our stronghold and our filter. And we're going to go ahead and let the people who decide that they're going to run their mouths, we're going to let them run their mouths. Zero tolerance policy. None. Your job as you leave this place tonight is to start building. That is what we do here. We build. The best way that you can separate the Intelligent Black Society from the fakers and frauds, ask them what they've built. Ask them what they've built. I don't want to hear your glory stories about how you had a wire rim shop back in the day, because all I see is that you're hanging out at the swap meet now, giving me all sorts of advice about how I can start something for $0 down. I'm not looking for a scam. I'm not looking for a hustle. And you better not be looking for one either, folks. Con men don't stay in business. They only stay there until somebody shoots them or until they go to prison, one or the other. You want to be part of a community, you don't con them. You don't hustle them. You work together with each other. Black first.
Brothers and sisters, you're getting your wake-up call in Detroit, but it doesn't matter if you're awake now. You're being strangled in your sleep. They are strangling you in your sleep. I don't like to use those terms of sleep because Negroes ain't been asleep. They've just been in denial of their situation and being stupid. Well, now you're dead dumb. You're not just dead wrong. You're dead dumb. Stay asleep. They're strangling you in your sleep now. Stay asleep, Detroit. Don't bother waking up now. Don't bother. Because there's nothing you can do. And California, California, California. Every time I get a call from California, y'all just stay asleep out there too. Who's gonna stop the rain? And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio. I am your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, which will be tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, same Black time, same Black channel, remember that Black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.